Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is taking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. My plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Mine says 12 o'clock and then mine says 3. Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. TGIF. Hope everyone's had a great week so far. And as always, I hope you have an even better weekend ahead. Anyway, hope everyone is doing well. And hello, Laurent.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
Not too bad, all things considered.
All things considered, yeah, I hear you.
I mean, it's Friday. How bad can things be, right?
Oh, well, I never go that far. I never ask those questions. I learned long ago.
It was a rhetorical question, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely.
I wanted to say good evening to Cal and Casey. Hey, girls. Women, friends, poets. What's going on?
Yes, well, we have... We have some people on the line already, and Cal happens to be one of them.
Cool.
So, yes. So, yeah, so anyway, it's Friday. That's what I can say the most of. And I'm happy that it's Friday. Because, you know, this work week is killing me. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's just tough, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to pick everybody up since we have so much poetry to get through.
You got it.
We may as well get this party started. So first off, I'd like to welcome Wayne. Hello, Wayne, and welcome aboard.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. And Art.
Hey, Wayne, yeah. Good to hear you.
How y'all doing tonight?
I think he's trying to say you're not a gentleman, Laurent. Just saying. He said, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and Laurent. So you don't fit into that boat.
He wanted a personalized greeting.
Yeah, he get a little personal there.
Just teasing, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, next I have Kel, so we're going to pick her up. Hello, Kel. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey,
Kel. Any better, I'd... You know, that's a standard answer from me.
If you're any better, you'd be smiling like Kel.
I'm always smiling. Thank you. Anyway, at least on the show. Yeah. Anyway, last but not least, we have Pam. And hello, Pam.
Hi,
how
Phil. Hi, everyone. Good to hear y'all.
Pam.
Good to hear you, too. Oh, my goodness. See that? Laurent kind of made some kind of remark. Like, I wasn't smiling, Pam. You can tell I'm smiling, can't you?
Yes, absolutely. I can hear it in your voice.
See? I think she's so funny over there. I'll get even with him later. It's all right.
Not me.
Yeah,
innocent as a lamb. Spring.
Oh, come on
or
now.
There's a cow in a pasture chewing her cud.
Wow. You did not just align yourself there with the lamb in spring. Oh, my God.
Well, come on now. Wayne knows I'm just an innocent, don't you, Wayne?
Yeah, right. Wow. Well, I'm not going to say nothing on that one. Anyway, I know I'm the big bad wolf. It's all good. Anyway, that is normal. Listen, we're going to start the night off because, like I said, we do have a lot of poetry. It's not just me being a wise guy. I am going to put our first piece up off the board. This is by Martha Gettle. And I have a sound clip for this. Okay, Pam, you hurry back now. Here we go. And here goes.
My Bicycle Built for Two by Martha Gettle. Babe, I see you every day. As I ride my bicycle past your way, there's something I just have to ask you. Would you ride with me on my bicycle built for two? You have got my heart in a spin, and I can't wait to see you again. And I know I just have to say, come ride with me on my bicycle today. 'Cause love in my heart goes round and round, and I pray that you won't let me down. I want to go through life with you on my bicycle built for two. So I'll get my bicycle cleaned up nice and shiny, and it'll be the perfect place to put your hiney. And I'll show you my love is true, on my bicycle built for two. 'Cause love in my heart goes round and round, and I pray that you won't let me down. I want to go through life with you on my bicycle built for two. My dear, I could never want another. My heart belongs to you and no other. So baby, put your hand in mine. You can ride on my bicycle anytime.
Well, thank you, Martha. That is really well written. I've got to say, when you decide to write a song, it's very singable. And I enjoy seeing an exploration into my bicycle built for two. There have been some time-honored songs that go with a bicycle built for two, and you've added to the lexicon of the moment. So that's nice. Wayne, can I get a comment from you?
Yes, that's a very nice poem or song. And I said, I'll ride with you on your bicycle for two, but no singing allowed. And I just joking. It's a sweet little song, and maybe we could do a duet together sometime. And I don't think you'd like that, but this is a wonderful song, poem, and I like it a whole lot. Good job with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kel, your comment, please.
Kel went and said, be right back, as did Pam.
Okay. So now it's your turn, then.
That's right. That's right. Well, Martha, it was a great write, as always. I remember when you wrote this in the room, when Pam inspired this. So nice job. So I appreciate it. And thanks for the share. Okie dokie. Well, now, where do I go? Okie dokie. Okay, Lauren, I'm going to bounce around a little bit here, a little bit there.
I've got 1 hour tonight. That's all I got tonight. I got somewhere to be. So, I'll let you know.
Okie dokie. No problem, Wayne, no problem. It gives us 45 minutes. All good. Okay, and Laurent, can I get you to start us off by reading this one?
Certainly.
Thanks.
It's called The Hidden Hero by Daniel Duchino. Heavy is each step taken by the common man, for the weight of the world is carried on his back. An unending, relentless weight, a weight partnered with time, bearing down on body and mind. A spirit of fire to fuel the furnace, a cog in the endless moving machine, a brick in the cathedral of modern society. And what is praise? The shining emblem raised to the clouds, looking down on the masses, or a lone brick of the foundation which it removed. All crumbles. The crown may sit upon a high throne, but who built the stairs on which you climbed? And the king may announce for the feast to begin, but the farmers produced the yield. For a king's true power lies within the people of which he rules. And what great irony lies the status of celebrity, who portray those who celebrate them, only to have them portrayed themselves forgotten. So sing to the masses, the human family, and celebrate the commoner, the builder of dreams, the men and women we pass each day, the blood of the cities, the backbone of society, who without none would stand. End poem.
Nice, nice read, Laurent.
Yeah, and you know, the hidden hero, that does speak virtually to every man and woman on earth who somehow slogs through the day. All of his effort towards a better life, but all of his effort taxed and ignored by some. The hidden hero. I like this. I like this, the last stanza very well, especially the last three lines. Wayne, did you like this piece?
Oh, man, when you first started reading it, I wasn't quite ready to get to the poem. I thought she was reading one of the classics tonight, and I thought it was one of the classics. It's a well-written, has a wonderful classic hue about it. The last stanza was perfect. I like the last stanza. I'm not going to recite it, but it was It was wonderful. It's a good poem all the way through, and you did a great job reading it. I liked it a lot.
Thank you, Wayne. Do we have Pam or Cal back yet?
I'm not sure, but it doesn't sound like it.
Okay. Then, Jean, it's back to you.
Okay. You didn't comment, though, right, Laurent? Maybe I missed it.
Yes, I did comment. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. My brain was typing. I thought that this piece was very well done. I thought it was a great expression of his idea. It was very well put together. I think Dan is really a wonderful poet. Never sure. It's never the same topic twice with Dan, and that's what I like about his work. You know, he covers a lot of area and ground in his thoughts, and I find that to be, wonderful. He definitely is true to himself, and that's what's important. So, nice work, Dan, and thanks for sharing with us. Okay, well, the girls must be out hanging around somewhere, but it's okay. I feel like we're at the mall and they took their parking spots. I'm only kidding, girls. Only kidding.
I don't know. I feel like a groom whose bride didn't show up or who showed up and left.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, Wayne, I'm going to have you read the next one for us. Here we go.
It's called Natural and Other Supernatural Things. It goes like this. Bring a forced walk with you, leaves are sharp, itching my feet with every angle, weaving air filled lifted, adding through waves of mine, the patterns of the gods, copyright, moss and bark. Comes forward, on the edge of the squeezing back to me, besides toes. A pinky thing that reaches out to hold you. You have a black spider moving so swiftly, like skates over ice. A matcher, choking leather hair, inflating upward, like some miniature mercury, reflected from the eyes. Still more web portraits, block our path, and dissolve the sugar ripples and rain, our hands sweeping like brooms. Then on and time, huddle arm around shoulders, the transient harvest scent running my nose as you find him hiding. Treasure not buried for the taking, just reach out of reach, guard of briars. Attack exploring fingers, out to eat, we switch paths, we charge again. As they too fall, in deep purple, blackberries fill the mouth, lip-clipping sweet. He knows his fast leaving the sky, a cloud river flow. Bring on the moist in the half dark we run. Day is gone, seconds pass, the waiting stillness so calm. Bloom this pouring numbs the skin. While the Olympians covered in a plastic for now. Throw the ice cubes from out the plastic glass of sleepy Zeus. Again, kind of British dad.
Nice job, Wayne.
Very nice. And I like this poem a great deal. Two stanzas jump out at me a little bit. A clutching thing reaches out to hold you. Yellow-black spider moving so swiftly like skates over ice. A masher stroking my lover's hair, then fleeing upward like some miniature mercury with messages for the gods. I love the image of him. It is a wonderful look at being scared by a spider briefly. And I love those stanzas. The gradual evolving of the moment into a beautiful piece on nature with an Olympian ending. Flow the ice cubes from out the plastic glass of sleepy Zeus. That's so charming. Very, very nice. Wayne, you read it well. Could you comment, please?
I don't know about reading well, but it's a good point. He did a lot of, like the title said, natural and other supernatural things. He did a lot of kind of jumping around a little bit from witches to spiders, and then went on down to talk about spices and treasure, and just all in all, it's a good point. It's kind of hard to read because the sentences were so short and a little bit broken out of our time reading. But it's a very good point, and I enjoyed it a lot. Pretty good job.
Well, thank you, Wayne. And Gina, are our callers back yet?
I do not know, but we have Thomas. So
who?
Let me pick him. Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Oh, good.
Oh, hello, Lauren. How are you?
Good to have
you. Hey, Thomas.
Good to have you.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, Thomas.
Thank you greatly.
We're about to send out a search party for two missing callers. But I guess they'll announce themselves when they get back.
I think I just heard one of them. I think it may have been Cal. Gosh, am I on mute or something?
No, no, I can hear you.
Cal, did I hear you? I guess not. Must be my imagination. Thomas, did you happen to hear Jack's piece?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Okie dokie. Well, I heard it, and I thought it was a really well-done piece. It was great imagery throughout. And it's amazing. The piece was from 1975, he said. Really well done. I thought it was a nicely penned piece, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely. So, okay. I don't know.
You don't. Nobody else does.
I know. I've been looking in the room and saw Cal left. I've been in trouble before. I'm beyond it all. That's just the way it is.
And
okay.
That's a good guy.
And
I like.
For my next magic trick.
Yes.
Pam Baby's back. Welcome back, Pam.
Hey, Pam. Welcome back. Yeah.
A little ray of sunshine.
Gonna be back.
Yeah. Okay, well, for my next magic trick, I am going to put up a piece by Casey Day. And I have an audio for that one as well. So here we go.
Blue honey. Slow rain dripped onto our parched lips and we drank it in like honeydew. Under gray blue skies, listening to grasshopper lullabies, thunder hummed in the distance. While our hearts kept rhythm.
That's it. Great job, Casey.
That was, and she demonstrates the value of the brevity. So few words transmitting such great descriptives. Gorgeous moment. Well read. Very nice piece. Thomas, can we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is one of those that it sucks you back into summer and has that feel of a great Midwestern vision looking out on a forever that just doesn't seem to stop. And I just love the grasshopper lullabies, thunder hummed in the distance while our hearts kept rhythm. That's just stunning. This is one of those ones that just sort of takes you off into a daydream and lets you just keep on dreaming. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely.
And Wayne, please.
Yeah, this is a lovely little brevity. You want a moment of time when you're sitting back enjoying Mother Nature sounds and just having a peaceful moment in time. Yeah, nice and peaceful and restful and nice little job there. She did a good job writing this.
Indeed. Pam, you heard that, right?
Yes. I thought this was a beautiful brevity that had wonderful sensual undertones. I like how where it says parched lips drank it drink it like honeydew under gray blue skies. Just absolutely a wonderful use of imagery and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And that will bring me back to Jean.
Wow, that was quick. Well, I don't know. I haven't heard a darn thing out of you. You must be commenting first or something. Anyway, I like the imagery in this piece as well. I thought it was a really well done brevity. But I love this, listening to Grasshopper Lullaby, thunder hummed in the distance while our hearts kept rhythm. I thought they were lovely lines there. So really nice work, Casey, and thanks for sharing with us. Okay. Yeah.
Those K's are confusing.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck that was about. Go figure. let me see. Okay. Thomas, I'm going to ask you to read the next one.
Oh, well, I will.
All righty. Pretty please.
Whenever I get my hands on it, I'll struggle with every word.
You've got it. Well, you should have it.
Okay, there it is. Sunset Waterfall by Robert Pileski. The sleek robe of water with a loom of liquid silver pouring down the rock, dream into the pool of bliss over the gravelly bed, sensual as a lover's kiss, svelte and slinky, sliding past my feet. Edges, steamed in silver, glint in the aureate light. Glassy water brilliance, ping and plink as it flows. The languid slickness echoes from the rocky backbone. Sun rays catch the watery slide, turn to shreds of silky silver, spritz of glittering fairy dust, flickers in the slanted light, a filmy mystique above the pool, tinkling on the surface. Sunsets, horizon, mirror with pregnant gray clouds, green, limitless meadow, distant, placid lake. Dreamy, illusory, the sod of a Renaissance painting. End poem.
Well read, Tom.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to Pam, please.
I really enjoy this. It's been great to see Robert Pileski's writing on our shows. This just has absolutely not only beautiful imagery, but captivating. I really like the ping and clink as it flows, the languid slickness echoes from the rocky backbone. It's beautiful all the way through, but what I like is that it not only captures the beauty of nature, but the mystery and the movement of nature, particularly water. And I think it's beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, please.
I enjoyed the assonance and consonants that he sort of used with each verse to sort of enhance the feeling of a magical, mystical wonderland discovered and shared. You get it in the ping and the plink that Pam mentioned, but also like all the S's in that third verse and the sunset's horizon mirror with pregnant gray clouds, green limitless meadow, distant placid lake, dreamy illusory facade of a Renaissance painting. I just that last line sort of just takes the whole thing and snaps it into focus, almost like you shook a rug. Really beautifully done.
Thank you so much, Tom. Let's see. Did I get Wayne?
No, not yet.
All right, please.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is a lovely poem. If it's a picture prompt, he did a perfect job of describing the picture. But it's a picture prompt. But he had to hear the sounds, the feel of it. He had that, like the water rushing on his feet like a lover's kiss. It was just he's just telling you hear it and see it, and did a great lovely job describing this great description and a great lovely poem. Did a good job. I like it.
Thanks, Wayne. Great comment. I love this piece because it's an exploration of a waterfall that graces the viewer with a shining silver presence. Now, expertly described in a variety of ways, but expanding into a larger picture, the illusory facade. And it has a dreamlike quality that really soothes us into a contemplative mood. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Gene? Off mute, please, Jim.
Well, you know, I'm taking a back seat to whatever I'm doing. I thought this was wonderful, this poem. I thought there was great imagery and a great use of alliteration. And I thought it was beautifully penned. So I appreciate you sharing, Robert, and thank you so, so much. Absolutely. And
I don't think I got Pam.
Actually, I was the first one to comment.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll get it straight.
This is
thanks,
all
Pam.
Coming in.
All right, Gene.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say hello to Sawa. Welcome to the show, Sawa.
Hello.
Hi, Sawa.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. Haven't heard them for a while. Laurent and that's
hello.
The queen, right? She, oh, Kyle, how are you? Good to hear you too.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to go somewhere. I don't remember where, though. Okay, I'm going to grab this next piece. Oh, no, I have something up for Pam. Pam. Would you read the next one for me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ah, yes. Oh, well, you're not expecting me to sing this, are you?
Yes, I am.
No.
Thanks.
I'll read it.
Oh, I wouldn't expect that.
I hope so.
All right, these are... this is a parody of These Are a Few of My Favorite Things by Jable UK, and it goes like this. Youngsters who think we've no brains now we're older don't realize that these years can be colder. They look at us and assume things are grim. These are a few of my unfavorite things. All times we might have some trouble in coping, childproof containers can prove hard to open. Hearing is waning and eyesight is dim. These are a few of my unfavorite things. Gadgets will often confuse, not delight us. Bodies are riddled with that dang arthritis. Our flesh is sagging, and now we're too slim. And now we're not slim. These are a few of my unfavorite things. Despite all these things that I've been bemoaning, now I am done with the gripping and groaning. My heart's full of joy and I can still sing. These are a few of my favorite things. Lunches with girlfriends and I can spend hours reading or writing or tending my flowers. If I'm inclined, I will follow a whim. These are a few of my favorite things. When the sun shines, when the birds sing, when I'm drinking wine, I simply forget all unfavorite things. And then I just feel so fine. And boom.
So nice. I'll tell you, this piece is, and it's a very clever piece, very well written, as always by Jabo. But it's so relatable. And she uses a repetitive phrase to great advantage. Now, it's humorous, perhaps, but it lets us look deep inside, Jabbo. And I like what I see. Okay, we are going to begin with Sawa, please.
I agree. I love her writing. She has such a natural sense of humor. Great read, by the way, Pam. She just has a great sense of humor. And she tackles things that part of her life, bring them and give them a touch. They're serious, but she gives them a humor touch and make us laugh. I really love it. And seems like a very happy human being and enjoying herself, not let anything bother her. And I love that. It's an amazing personality that she has. It shows in her writing.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, Sawa. And
Yes, this sounds like to me that there's a lot of things that she has in common with me, because I enjoyed a lot of stuff. She said she enjoys the wine sipping in the garden, the flowers. I reckon when you get older, your mind kind of fall together a little bit, and because life's a little bit simpler. But Jane was a wonderful poet, wonderful person, and I enjoy her work, and I've been reading it for quite a while, and she's a great person. Great poem here, and I enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot, Wayne. And Thomas, please.
And it brings us back to do. Anyway, I really delighted in this. I liked the fact that she started with a few. These are a few of my unfavorite things, and mentioned those things that as you get older, just seem to absolutely drive you buggers. But still, the switch after the third verse made it all that much better and much more enjoyable. I could use a glass of wine right now. And the last four, rather than when the bee stings, it's when the sun shines. I'd much rather go that way. Very well done.
Thank you, Thomas and Pam. Even though you didn't sing it, you did a great job reading it. What do you think?
Well, thank you. And, this was just absolutely wonderful. A spot-on brevity. Not brevity, sorry, Dice. A spot on parody. Yeah. I know that. And
it was funny.
And I really like how she turns it around in the middle and starts, near the end and starts saying all the best things about growing older, like lunches with girlfriends and I can spend hours reading or writing or tending my flowers. Really well done, great humor, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. And it brings us to Jean.
Well, I think that, as always, Jabbo has done a wonderful job with this. It was a great parody. It was a lot of fun and definitely enjoyable. So thanks for sharing that with us, Jabbo, as always. I it's always a treat to have one of Jabbo's poems on the show. And I'm always thankful. Okay, so the next one I'm going to put up is by Matya. So let me hit that button.
Up towards the bright heavens tonight.
absolutely, you know, I would call it charming if it wasn't for the subject matter. I assume that's a banjo she may have been playing. It didn't sound quite like a guitar. But her voice is so pleasing. I mean, it's a moving piece on regret and moving on, and well sung, and, you know, with feeling. And that music was excellent. So nice, man, you know. I'd like to start with Thomas, please.
To you, ukulele.
Ukulele? Okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
Spent too many years managing bands. This is one of those things that just catches you with its innocence and forthrightness, and suddenly you realize you're listening to something that's very incisive, insightful, and in the end, powerful. Kind of sneaks up on you and catches you by surprise, which is the best way to be caught sometimes. Very well done.
Thank you, Thomas. And Wayne, please.
That song was a nice voice you had. One was song and seven. Started out with a nice little story where the stand up, you were kind, then led on down to where it says, but you were cruel, kind of getting back at him a little bit. And it ended great when he said, see, I've become the stars. It was a great way to end the song. It was a lovely, lovely little poem and relaxing. And it won't be part of it, but it was a good song, and I enjoyed it. Great job with the singing.
Yeah, thank you very much, Wayne. And Pam, please.
This is just absolutely a beautiful song. And I like the repetitive line of, if you were kind, and the whole idea that, you know, you would have told me the truth if you were a good person, but you're not a good person. You're cruel. You're heartless. You left my pieces scattered. I thought this was really a strong and emotive write on the heartbreak of betrayal. And the music and singing really added to the depth of the write. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Sawa.
This is really deep. I agree with everyone. And I feel like sometimes it takes, unfortunately, a painful reality to wake up from such a horrible relationship. And now I know who you just truly are. You have shown me who I truly must be. But when you understand that's not the right relationship for you, and you move on, I like how she ended it, hope with hope. Look upwards, the bright heavens tonight. See, I become the stars. And in spite of the pain, she see light. And that's really, it takes a lot of strength. So that's really beautiful, and her singing is really amazing.
Merci, Sarwa. Jean?
I thought this was nicely penned piece by Christine, and well-sung thoughts, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Christine, for sharing with us tonight, as always. Okay. Yes. And for our next magic trick, Sawa, I have this one up for you, hon.
Okay, thank you. Let me refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have a look. I would like to look before, after the disaster I did before. Okay, Manic Panic by Emma. Sorry, my earbuds fell. Give me 1 second, sorry. Emma Kuhu. Manic Panic, frantic rage and chaos. Desperate eyes chasing butterfly keys, shotguns, fireworks, and northbound albatross. Dandelions see dreams on a June breeze. Savor every flavor of fleeting feeling. Pay no mind to reckless high climbing. The ultimate goal is beyond the ceiling. And maybe, just maybe, with perfect timing, when the fall comes, she'll be so far into the divine when she hits those death-head depressive recesses. She'll bounce with laughter from cloud nine. Manic panic is the preference to rolling the future dust numbers, emptiness, excesses.
and just
Nice read, Selma. Thank you so much. And may we start with you?
Absolutely. You know, I really enjoyed this one. I thought the title Manic Panic was kind of, was clever. On a technical level, this had wonderful rhyme in that you could see both some inner rhyme and end rhyme. I felt like it was, in general, about living life to the fullest, but between the title itself and some of the phrasing, like Shotgun Fireworks and Northbound Albatross, Dandelion Seed, Dreams on a June Breeze, there was something about this that gave the poem had an enjoyable pace to it that I really appreciated, and it was very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Well said. And I totally agree that last line, Manic Panic, is the preference to wallow in future's dust, numbest emptiness excesses. It was very well said. A nice piece. Thomas, please.
I really liked how she, I was just earlier today, for some reason, analyzing Get Together. And this does sort of something similar in the way she catches with quick short phrases a whole panoply of different ways that one can respond to the world around us. Manic panic, frantic rage, shotgun fireworks, dandelion seed dreams. And then when she goes into contextualizing this, you might say, in the second verse, she doesn't spend a whole lot of time telling, but manages to keep some of that short phrases, quick images, so that you have to put yourself into the poem and start feeling it and experiencing what she's telling you to really get what she's speaking to. And then in the last piece, she sort of goes back to the beginning in some way, even though it has a little bit more of a tell feel to it, but still those nice images. And that last line that you share with us, Laurent, is just so nicely sharp, because all of a sudden you can feel how she's speaking to all the ways we can experience life, and that perhaps the most frightening one is not feeling it at all.
Absolutely correct. Couldn't agree with you more. All right, I think I got everybody. Gene, it's you. Mute, Gene.
I didn't quite say anything. Wayne.
Well, oh, I'm sorry, Wayne. I beg your pardon. Please go ahead.
And me too, please.
Today. This poem I had a mood about it that kind of hits home a little bit. I'm a little anxious tonight, and it's got the phrases in it. The one phrase in it which says, death, head, depressive, aggressive, senses. That's a pretty strong statement there. Always, too, it's kind of an edginess about it that causes a little anxiety for me. But it's a good little poem and very poetic, but it's got this little edginess about it. And I reckon that's what the manic was about. It's wonderfully written and very poetic, and I got the jitters after reading it. So good job.
Thank you, Wayne. Didn't mean to leave you out. Sorry. All right, James.
I think you skipped Sawa as well, if I heard her correctly.
Yes.
Wow.
I was going to say, because I read, I think I confused, because I read confused you.
I agree with
Wayne. Like she said in her author note, mental health mania. I love how she described it. It's just to trust, to feel and understand how someone's mind, when like have mental illness, that really they can help it. It's chaotic rage, and her imagery to describe it is incredibly beautiful. Dead eyes chasing butterfly keys, and how she bouncing. Perfect, I believe it's perfect verbiage and imagery to really make us feel what she can really, what she feels or what she go through. That's really brilliant, right?
Thank you, Sola. Now, with much trepidation, I say back to you, Gene.
Well, I thought that was a well-written piece and very well expressed. And I want to thank Emma for sharing with us. I think that was written to one of Pam, was that one of your proms? I think so. I don't know why.
Yes.
I think that.
Yes, it was.
Okay, it was. Okay. I think I was a little too crazy. Okay, Laurent, I have one. I have something to put up for you to read. And then, Wayne, I'm coming to you next. Okay.
All right. This is called The Interview. My small contribution to the evening. Mademoiselle, the ordinariness of your bitchiness is painful. Some accessories are, eh? You prattle on, projecting your contents like a thin, oily ash over everyone. Is it shamelessness or a complete lack, a void of understanding, cavitation reaching its maximum, which, and that has better sense of its surroundings than you? Very well. I will go with void then. Bellicose, I see. Primarily a male trait. Is it not a curious you adopted a refuge based on a snap and snarl? Have another martini if it helps. You spout a brilliant ignorance, couched in simper. You astonish the jaded in me, arising a prickling of unease at the remotest possibility of your employment. You are truly the Marcel Marceau of lunacy liberated. I choose not to unleash you on an unsuspecting public. There is no acceptance in me, no position suited to your remarkable lack of skill set. Yes, not even if Teddy plays golf with our CEO. And thank you so much for your time. Good day. End poem.
Kidoki, nice reading around. Wayne, I start us off on this one.
Yeah, I'm not very good at French, but I can figure out enough at this point that you wouldn't please add to this interviewee. I hope she finds a job because there's no sense coming back to see you again. I don't believe. very good point, and I enjoyed it. It's a fun tale. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
And that now brings me to Pam. Miss Pam.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I thought it had just a wonderful biting humor to it, which is always enjoyable to me. I really like, is it shameless or a complete lack of void of understanding? Cavitation reaching its maximum which. I thought that using which was a nice play on words. A gnat has better sense of its surroundings than you. Very well. I will go with void then. Really, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it makes me think of, like, when you have to deal with customer service. This is the attitude I get when I have to deal with any sort of customer service over the phone, and I finally reach a human, and it's still frustrating. And so, just a clever write all the way through, and fun and very well done.
Thank you, Ben.
Great comment, Ben. And Thomas, how about you?
Well, first of all, I hope this was not the premier speaking to our vice president over the their feelings about the submarine fiasco with Australia. But, well, you know how it goes. I used to have a French teacher, and we had what they called F collection, which meant if your grades weren't good, you had to sit in F collection at night to do your homework. And I always loved it when he started going, shut your mouth, shut your mouth. They weren't behaving properly. This has a lot of that. The French accent, I can tell you grew up in France because nobody else could handle the accent that way without that kind of background and experience. You're beautifully done. This is just beautifully done. I'm quite impressed.
Thank you.
And Shala?
Really fabulous. I couldn't stop laughing. I had to put myself on mute. I love how you read it in French accent and the verbiage that you put there in French. I feel like you're making, it's like almost ironic or satire of the people who think because they have their parents are CAO, I don't care who you are. If daddy plays golf with CEO, thank you. There is no acceptance in me, no position suited. And how you compare her to the Marc Mercer, it's really hilarious. Well done. Ça me casse les oreilles. Just well done, really well done.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I said this was a well-written piece, clever, with a lot of great humor to it. And I enjoyed it. So, nice work.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, Wayne, grab your piece up next.
Already? I'm about to run. I have to read it. I'm about to run. I got involved in a competition about 4 months ago, and I thought it'd be like a one-week thing, and I ended up being 4 months. I'm still undefeated, and I got to go challenge somebody again, I reckon. The people got old, but I got to get out of here since I read this. And I had a good time tonight. And my poem is called Don't Mess with the Mother. And it goes like this. Remember seeing Mother Nature battered and bruised? Head hung low, like she had been used. Dark and cloudy, the day she left, all I could do was cry. Looked at the trash, the pollution, and wondered why. Then one morning, looked outside, the sun was shining bright. Over the horizon, saw Mother Nature coming, ready to fight. Head held high, standing proud, wearing nature's green. She looked like the greatest warrior I'd ever seen. She marched across the land, and she wasn't alone. To her right was a tornado with the strongest winds ever known. I could see she meant business, was out for blood. Right behind her was at her command was the decade's largest flood. Above her head, streets of lightning, through the sky. Anyone who chose to mess with her was going to die. Before the wind swept down and cleaned the land, I ran outside yelling, I want to lend a hand. Of course, the tornado tore out the dam, water flowed free. Rain came down to cleanse the air for miles to see. Everything that polluted suddenly came to a stop. Mother Nature was kind when it came to our crop. When she was finished, I saw her smile. Looked at me and said, that'll last a while. Hope mankind has learned. We'll find out soon. If she just come back, we bring the typhoon. Ian?
Well read. Good night. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you came in like a typhoon. You went out like a typhoon. That's great. Don't mess with Mother Nature. A cautionary tale. I love it. Let us begin with Pam, please.
I'm sorry, did you say my name?
I didn't.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this had a wonderful rhyme and flow to it. I like how that with this right you touch on the more fierce side of Mother Nature, the side that you really don't want to mess with. I really like above her head, streaks of lightning fill the sky. Anyone who chooses to mess with her was going to die. Saw the wind sweep down and clean the land, ran outside yelling that I wanted to lend a hand. And, you know, I really liked that whole idea of someone, you know, saying, hey, you know what, I know what's going on here. I know why Mother Nature is seeking revenge, and I want to be on her side. So very well done.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's not difficult to imagine how more primitive peoples back thousands of years ago saw a storm like this and could not assign some godly powers to what was going on, because it seems like a menacing thing. You know, it's so easy for us to anthropomorphize nature and assign a deeper meaning to it. But this is the meaning that I'm beginning to think is more and more important for us to look at. At any rate, thank you, Pam. And Thomas, please.
Yeah, well, the truth is we may be seeing fiercer storms than we ever wanted to see. And so Mother Nature just might be showing us things that we don't really want to be around to experience. I like this. I wish it would be so simple that we could clean everything up just by having her get pissed for a few years. Unfortunately, it may be a lot longer than that, especially since people seem to be willing to admit that things aren't going right. They just don't want to have to do anything to correct because it might cost them money. I can see the humor in this. Another part of it, the whole thing ain't that funny. Very well done.
Thank you, Thomas. And Sawa, civil please.
It's very beautiful, really well done again. Your love for nature, you write a lot of a poem about nature, and here you show, like everyone said, the force, the power, and the revenge of nature. I like the last sentence when she said, this kind of, here I win. When she said she had finished, I saw her smile, look at me, and said that would last a while, hope-making. Mankind had learned, we'll find it soon. It's true, we don't really learn. So, well done. There is some wisdom in here in these lines, and a warning for us to stop messing with Mother Nature.
You're right about that. All right, Jean.
Okay, well, that was a great piece, Wayne. As always, a wonderful piece of rhythm, rhyme and meter. Wow, that was the word I wanted. That's the way I wanted to say it. I thought it was, Mother Nature is always a force to be reckoned with, so I think it was well expressed. Excuse me. Okay. Pam, you're next up to read, and I didn't see one of yours, so I'm going to put a piece up for Julie Buck for you to read, if you don't mind.
All right. This is A Bit of a Daze by Julie Buck, and it goes like this. If something existed in tangible or intangible format, and if I didn't believe in that something, would it still exist? I take notes of happiness, always fleeting, rarely there, and so quickly dissipate that I've even asked myself, what was that mask feeling? Because I kind of liked it. Well, it was happiness. Oh, I say in a bit of a daze, because hey, I don't believe in happiness, which is only a brief and beautiful emotional response to an outcome, your basic cause and effect, and this woman won't play that way. My peace refuses to be contingent upon anything. Therefore, seek out joy. Joy only asks that you be there. And hey, I'm not for sure, but I think I can do that. And so,
nice job, Pam.
Nice read. Yes, indeed. Sawa, can I begin with you, please?
Yes. I'm so sorry, actually. I was commenting on the Wayne poem because I get asked at the end. So give me 1 second, please, to catch up.
Certainly. I'll be right back to you then. We'll go to Thomas.
Thank you.
Well, this has that Julie Buck feel that I really like about life has to work with me and for me, or I'm just not going to deal with it. It can go away. And it that sense of taking command over things that makes it so delightful in a way, because she's right, happiness is the cause and effect, and it's fleeting, and it doesn't last long. But that she then turns and opens the box to joy, it's almost, it has a feeling of like Pandora letting hope free before she slams the box closed. And I do agree with her totally. I'm not sure, but I think I can do that. Yes, I do too. Life has that effect on you. Very well done.
Thank you, Thomas. And Pam, please.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was a different and clever take on the prompt. I like how it starts out with that whole idea of the philosophical question, if I didn't believe in something, would it still exist? And I like how it kind of, it covers the sense of confusion on trying to figure out what happiness is. And I thought it had a great sense of humor in that line, what was that masked feeling? You know, because it makes you think of who was the guy with the mask? Oh, yeah, the Lone Ranger. Yes, who was that masked man? And, and I like how in the end she wraps it up with the whole idea of instead of seeking happiness based on a response to a circumstance, you know, find joy, because joy only asks that you be there in the moment. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Yeah, as Tom said, she has taken command. She's the girl in charge. This is a welcome poem with a difference. I like the tone, one of defiance, one of certitude. Well done. And Jean? We don't hear you, my dear.
I think.
There you go.
What?
Nothing.
What did she say?
Nothing.
I thought it was a nicely penned piece by Julie, and a great take on the chosen prompt. You know, I thought it was great, clever piece of work, and I enjoyed it. So thank you, Julie, as always. Okay. So now, next I have Thomas's piece. Okay, Thomas. Here we go, whenever you're ready.
Okay. She hears my emptiness. Night. A space for nightmares to work deeper into the fabric of light. I lose myself to darkness. The door creaks on its hinges. The room sighs. I can hear susurration of your disguise collapse on the floor. Your hands slide under the sheets, wrap themselves around my ankles. My will to be alone slips through one of the cracks between my nightmares and my beliefs. I feel your teeth and the tip of a big toe. You are grinning, and my whole body hears you. Sadness still hangs on my shoulders, ready to sail away with me into forever. The wind of your breath leaves me in tatters. The moonlight splashing through the window silvers the tips of the furniture and shows your silky nature. The springs creak as you raise me up and erupt before me from the covers. The oracles cast their stones, studying the swirling waters. You define my nature and needs, then lead me to your healing waters. Skating along the sides of my ribs, your hands cover my chest, arrest my breath, resuscitates my joy as you beat a magical rhythm on my hips. My hands raise up from the bed and blend with your hips, supporting your joy as you lean forward, your hair covering my face until there is only me and you. In this dance, life is in the moment we divide it into time. Love is woven into the fabric as your ecstasy spills into me with splashes of joy, frothy night. Is now a moon-filled room, silvered by the magic of my silky love.
Great read, Tom.
Good job.
What a magic poem. This is passionate. It's sensual. It touches slightly on the erotic, but you're very careful. The way you navigate what you describe, you don't cross any Rubicons with this. It almost seems to be more about the moment. As you say, life is in the moment. We divide it into time. So you're giving us a full look at everything you're feeling, not just the fact that you're in bed with your loved one, engaged in sex, but more of that whirlwind of sensation that seems to envelop you during the act. I love this piece. This is really well done. Let's see. Can we go to Thomas, please?
Thomas just read it.
You want to come back to me?
Yes, certainly. Well, no, occasionally, you know. You go to the reader for those quick initial. And because Soa is laughing, you may go first.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. It's just it's cute.
Yep, but I do need you to comment, please.
Oh, you're going to punish me, okay. Thomas was really, like you shared with us an intimate moment to tell perhaps the reader that the moment, as Laurent said, life is a moment. And you talk about life, about love, how it's woven in the fabric. It's just enjoy the moment. That's what love is, and that's what I got from this. Beautifully, beautifully written, great, very passionate.
Thank you, Selva.
My pleasure.
And Pam, please.
I think Tom doesn't think that one sensual night is enough. So he's trying to make sure we get festive Friday.
No,
but, yeah, this is
Friday.
Absolutely beautiful. I like the reference to the silky nature. I felt there was a wonderful duality in the use of that word, silky, to describe the feel of the woman's hair and skin. But at the same time, the silky mythological creature in to describe the changing nature of a woman. I thought there was really just some wonderful passionate imagery here with study the swirling water, you divine my nature and needs, and lead me to your healing water, staying alongside my ribs. Really great reference to the idea of two people healing together. So beautifully written, Tom, and very well done.
And great comment, Pam. And Tom, the reason I called you initially is that I wanted to give you a chance to talk about your poem. I just worded it poorly.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, this I started this off with night, a space for nightmares to work, and it was I was playing with the idea that. One, I was depressed and having nightmares. And two, the way in which that which could be horrible, the susurration of your disguise collapsed on the floor, your hands slide under the sheet, wrapping around my ankles. I was, in a sense, you know, trying to build a certain sense of fright before letting the whole thing become a moment of love and passion. Because oftentimes, at least it's my experience, the person who loves you recognizes when you're in a negative space and finds a way to laugh you out of it and love you into something else. And I just sort of wanted to catch that in this.
I think you did. I think you did an admirable job with it. Let's find out what Gene has to say. Gene?
Well, Thomas, I'll tell you. You almost forget that beginning of this poem. You do, because it dropped into the passionate and the passion and the imagery, which is just fabulous. Very, very sensual and well done. But yeah, that's true. A good partner, your life partner, your partner, your husband, your wife, your whoever, you know, your close friends that you're intimate with, will find a way to bring you out of a sour mood or an upset mood or, you know, any kind of mood. They'll try and sway you into something better, a different space. And hell, I can't think of a better way to have my mood changed, you know. But it's an excellent, excellent piece. I thought, the imagery was wonderful, and the emotions were beautifully conveyed throughout. So gorgeous work. Yep, yep.
Thank
Frisky
you.
Fridays. We did it.
Yeah. There you go. Frisky Friday.
Uh-huh. That's it. Okay, Sawa, I have your piece up next.
Okay. Let me find it. Okay. Beautiful thoughts. C'est belle pensée. When she sees flowers, they are scentless. In a night full of stars, unexpectedly, and forgotten thoughts glide like closed petals, surprising her heart in a sweet transport. And she blossoms in the fall.
Laurent?
I'm almost waiting for the French. Very nicely done.
Oh.
So, the flowers that you see, scentless, and then transporting you, this is a brevity. I'm trying to avoid quoting the entire piece, but the thought of flowers that are scentless, spurring thoughts you can't forget, that surprise your heart and allow you to blossom, in the same way the flowers do, bring this brevity right back to its beginning. In a very beautiful and tight fashion. I think it's gorgeously written in English, better in French. Really nice. I wish everybody understood the French, but that's all right. Let's go to Pam, please.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is just absolutely a beautiful brevity. Strong and emotive and difficult to separate any one word. But I do like how it's about how those memories that come to us when we see something like, you know, the flowers in this case, and it's those memories that allow us to blossom and to grow as a person. So wonderful writing, very well done.
Thank you so much. And Thomas, please.
Okay, I'm going to quote what I just wrote. How quickly the flowers blossom and become a form that steals one back to the things that bring life alive and vibrant. So simply said, somewhat like a wave of wonder that drowns you in the joy with its depth.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
Well done, Thomas. And Gene, please.
Well, so I thought it was a beautiful brevity. I thought it was well written and much enjoyed. You know, it's like Laurent said, if I had started to quote something, I'd have been reading the whole thing again. It was a beautiful piece. So, nice
Thank
work.
You so much. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Anytime. Now, I had to figure out where I was. Because I totally lost my... Okay, since Kel dropped, I'm not going to put her piece up. That brings me up to the top of the list. So, okay, I need a male piece. So, Laurent, if you would read this for me, I would appreciate it.
I can do that. If I refresh. There it is. It's called Flesh on Flesh. Kenny W. How can you be lying next to me and also dancing to my dreams? Are we together in this world and thereafter? You move softly in my parallel world, for sure. Now we are in reality. I am holding you so tight, whilst my mind drifts off and takes flight. Though naked in my arms, I see you pirouette. Are you my Margot Fontaine? You perform alone? Do I not catch you as you land? You stir and turn over, rolling away from me, murmuring, tugging at the covers and sighing. I feel it is not me dancing in your dreams tonight. Maybe our flesh on flesh means nothing at all. My sweet dreams and your sweet dreams dance to the beat of a different drum. End poem. Wow.
Lovely.
This is a great piece. What a twist. I feel it is not me dancing in your dreams tonight. It puts a whole different thing on the piece. And then prior to that, when he asks, do you perform alone? Do I not catch you as you land? In other words, hey, what about me? Are you dreaming of someone else? You know, that moving softly in a parallel world is a great line. It really helps awaken the misgivings that he feels toward the end of the poem. I thought it was a fantastic work, Kenny. Thank you so much for this piece. And Stella, please.
Stella dropped.
Oh, did she? Okay.
She dropped. Yeah.
Gotcha. Pam, please.
Yeah, I thought this was a strong emotive write with a sense of sorrow and tenderness to it. And I like how it depicts a couple sleeping or side by side in bed. And yet, you know, he's thinking about his own dreams, and then he's watching her and her movements and the way she pulls away from him. And there's this realization that the dreams they're both having are not the same. The dances they're dancing are not the same, and that they've fallen out of sync with each other. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, please.
Yeah, this is one of those that speaks to something I used to say a lot when I was in college, which is that when you're naked in bed together, you can spot all the lies. Because he really catches that feeling, that sensation, that no matter how present you are to me in the flesh, in every other way, you're not here. You're not present. And whether it's somebody else or just not being willing to be present to the moment because you don't want to be here with me, doesn't really matter. The loneliness of that, the emptiness of it, is quite evident and leaves you no other choice but, as he says in that last phrase, maybe our flesh on flesh means nothing at all. My sweet dreams and your sweet dreams dance to the beat of a different drum. That said so gently and so softly, it just makes poignant all the sorrow that's in that phrase. That's beautifully done.
And that was a great comment, too. Thank you, Tom. And at the sound of the tone, we go back to Gene. Beep.
Okay, dokie. Well, I thought this was a gorgeous piece, and I think it was a great take on that prompt. Let me be the one that dances through your dreams. It's very clever, very well done, and I want to thank Ken for entering that in the contest. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Now, I can only find the room. Okay. Amen. That's exactly what I was thinking. I
I'm tempted to call you the Lady of the Tabs. Our Lady of the Tabs.
That's right. That's right. Right up there is Mother Teresa.
Like Cyrene.
Whenever you talk to him. Damn right.
Sorry, I missed you saying my name.
I figured that's what I said.
All right. This is Marriage of One by Pink Fairy Five, and it goes like this. She tried hard to make her marriage work, not realizing he was trying equally hard to destroy it. She planned husband and wife activities, but he was too busy with his hobbies to partake. He had wanted a maid, a cook, a housekeeper. She felt foolish later, looking back, realizing the gist of the situation. He wanted a caregiver and the caretaker. She had just wanted love and care. He was a parasitic being. She finally let him go, tired of being his host. Home.
That
nice job.
Is a slap in the face. Wow. You know, you've got these individuals, as she so perfectly described, who want a maid, a cook, a housekeeper. I think they want a mother, but not quite a mother. Just certain aspects of a mother. And then, of course, love and care. But to call him a parasitic being is so spot on. It's cold, it's hard, because the individual may not even realize what he's actually doing, but nonetheless, he is doing it. She finally let him go, tired of being his host. Once again, the power of a brevity, well constructed. It's all here. A great piece. Oh. Thomas, please.
Well, she sums it perfectly, you know? There is such a difference between partnering with someone where you're both working together and discovering what common goals you want to achieve, and being with someone who sees you as an object, almost like a robot, who's going to take care of all the things they don't want to be bothered with, so they can do all the things they want to do, and because screw you, they now, you know, their needs are met, and that's all that matters, and they're going to do whatever they damn well please. And they really are a parasite. And that last line, boy, that is just as sharp and as pointed as you can possibly be. It's brilliant, actually.
It was. And Pam, please, you read that well.
Thank you. And I thought this was just a really excellent write on a one-sided relationship. And I like how in just a few short lines, she shows us like how she really tries to maintain the relationship and how they both wanted different things out of it. But I think my favorite part was when she said at the end, he was a parasitic being. She finally let him go, tired of being his host. Just really an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean?
Well, I thought it was an excellent take on the chosen prompt. Very well done and very well expressed. That's what I'm going to say about that. So, Thomas, if I can get you to read the next one for me, I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, one second. I'm going to sign my name. Okay. The reason I don't often bother to comment on these poems until after the show. Okay, now, let me find this. Sorry about it. Actions by R.G. Kaimal. A husband may often smile at his wife while his mind is ever on his lover. He will kiss her before going to work And on returning home, he may hug her hard now and then, but would be thinking of the other one. Thus, he gradually becomes a very good actor. He could even act in a movie. Ooh, this is sharp, especially after that last poem.
I see that. Laurent, are you there?
I am. I was thinking about the piece briefly. Pam, could you give us a start, please?
Absolutely. This is a strong brevity. I like how it reminds us that the lies of actions, when repeated over and over again, become such a habit that we ourselves, the liar themselves, begin to see them as the truth. And, you know, as they become more and more better at that game of charades, they start to fool even themselves into believing what they're saying. And this is just a strong write on the idea of lying with your actions, and it's very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I really like your comment on people fooling themselves. You know, at certain times in people's lives, love turns into affection. And sometimes affection breeds the lie because of where love really lies. Thomas, your comment?
Well, there's a line in the 12-step program called, because fake it till you make it. But there's a difference here, in that rather than being, let us say, in an arranged marriage where you, by honoring the commitment and acting as if it has meaning, you soon learn to love the person you're with, this is where someone has already taken themselves out of the commitment and mind is ever on his lover. And it's that part, or now and then, but thinking of the other one, that's where it becomes a true charade, because he's never really present to her. He's never really honoring a commitment that he has made. Instead, he's finding a way to replace himself with a shadow of what it should be. And so he gradually becomes a very good actor. This is very well done in terms of demonstrating how much someone can completely become almost like a marionette of themselves. Well done.
Thank you, Thomas. Once again, we see the power of the brevity. And Jean.
Oh, I thought it was a great piece, actually. Wow. I lost that page. Here I go with the tabs again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was well written and nicely done, which that's what I did say. It is a great brevity and definitely, you know, expresses things very well there. You know, actors, you love it. Anyway, Laurent, I have a piece for you to read next. I'm not trying to run through these. It's just I have so many left on the board.
No. Please, let's speed along. Ryan Raven offers Pen or Ice. I think of words, of maiden phrases, fillers of sections and structural voids, my syllabus of one. I frame my sentences as cries for help, as tantrums of lunacy. A lunatic with a crayon, I am. Pen and paper loaded with innuendos and lock and loaded catchphrases, cultivated over time and experience, excavated from the emotional dumpster of a selective memory, mine. The pen shakes between my fingers as I hold it tighter and tighter. I want the words to escape, yet remain committed to my skin as tattoos are on drunken sailors. The drooling of a membrane helps my grip, my thoughts, my pen glide, and I'm leaving behind. I was struggling. A blockade unblocked by ink skid marks. I see the light, my mind get lighter. I smirk, touch my left wrist, embrace myself for hope, only to realize running out of ink. I stop, reread, then read again. For no writer is whole until all the commas are drawn and a semicolon is surgically implanted where it doesn't belong. Right there at the end, where hope and ink collide, where poets exhale, making the last scribbles appear in darker tones, subtly contrasting with a diluted scotch now that the two ice cubes have melted and gone. Wow. This is
great read.
Yeah, this really, I think, touches on how all poets write. You know, wait for the words to come, and then we pause and construct that ending, and sometimes it's a little more difficult. But nonetheless, we do it. And it is really that process of creating and managing to put on paper what you're feeling inside of you. It's really a powerful piece, beautifully written, I think. Tom, could you start?
It really speaks to many ways in which, while the art always has a certain autobiographical side to it, because we have to speak from our experience to make real what it is we're trying to say, we still are stirred by our imagination, and oftentimes, I always like to say it, is I haven't written the poem as much as the poem has written me. And that, in the ending, is what he seems to start to catch, and how much in going deep and trying to catch a real experience and speak to it completely and honestly and vibrantly, we suddenly become face-to-face at times too much with ourselves and have to stop and realize that this may be the very crux that has us hanging and praying for an answer. Very well done. That last verse is just striking.
Thank you, Tom. And Pam, please.
It's been really good to see Rhind giving rights to the show lately. Always to see his words and his voice, and I like the imagery and metaphors in this. I want the words to escape, yet remain committed to my skin as tattoos are on drunken sailors. And also, I see the light as my lines get lighter. I smirk, clench my left fist, and brace myself for hope, only realize I'm just running out of ink. I like how it's about that struggle to put the words down, to put not just the words, but the emotions that you're feeling in the words that you feel best convey them. So strong write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam and Jean.
Puff, where do I begin? I think this was just an awesome write, and I great thoughts were well expressed. Just fabulous work. So thank you, Ron, for sharing with us. Always love to see a piece of yours on the board. It was definitely. Now, let me see. Okay, next one I have is by Sapphire Rose. I'm just going to put that up. I'm going to hit that button.
Shooting pool. I miss the days I walked into a bar and commanded the room. Shooting pool was a natural high for me. The feel of the pool cue as it glided smoothly over my thumb and index finger. The satisfying kiss of the cue ball as it strikes a stripe of solace, bending it into an adjacent pocket. Taking up challenges with complete confidence. Bikers mostly. The only good thing the old man ever taught me. How to hustle pool. To play with the big boys. Sipping whiskey on the rocks. Gone are my glory days. Or are they? And boom.
Wow. You know, shooting pool was never really a place where women were commonly seen in pool. I think lately there's a lot in this piece, and I don't want to necessarily give my opinion first. I'd like to start with Pam.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to say, as a woman who grew up playing pool, because both my grandmothers had pool tables and frequented bars that had pool tables, I definitely see it. But I can see what you're saying, because I'm sure there was a time when women didn't play pool as often. But it's always been part of my life, or at least a majority of my life. But what I like about this is she tells the story of someone who misses their glory days, misses the hustle and the fun, and then in the end realizes maybe those glory days aren't over. And there's really kind of a nice bit of sass and attitude to this, and I like how she captures the movement of where she says the feel of the pool cue as it glides smoothly over my thumb and index finger, which also has a nice touch of sensuality to it too. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Tom?
Now, I used to run around with a pool hustler when I was in college whose name was perfect. His name was John Rackham. One of the things I remember was there was this girl who was a pool hustler. She used to wear these really cute little party dresses and play stupid, like she didn't know what she was doing. And then after she'd gotten them to go from court loss to them while playing for a quarter a ball, she'd get them up to a dollar and then run two racks. And I watched the guy once refused to pay her, and she cold cocked him, leaned over, pulled the ball out of his pants, held up the money that was hers, put everything else back in, put the pocket back into his pants, and says, "I think I should leave," and everybody sort of nodded and agreed, and she walked out. Well, I'll tell you, it was one of those moments where I just stood there, and I couldn't say a word. I just was like in awe. It was incredible. That was back in
1969.
Good time.
Well, I remember 69. Yes, indeed. I never played pool a lot. I never went to bars a lot. But when I did, I always enjoyed playing pool. Never for money. I was never that good. But there were never any women around. Or if there were women, they were, and I apologize, they were suspect. Why were they there? It was no place for a woman, because the men love to brawl and drink, tell dirty jokes. The moment a woman came in, they were constrained from doing that. Now, that's no excuse for bad behavior, but there was resentment built up until women started coming in and trouncing the men. Then all of a sudden, everything changed very subtly. Women were empowered. I think today, some of the best pool players in the world are women without a doubt. Yeah. Oh, well, they have the eye for it, don't they? I know I've lost a few games of pool to Gene in my time, that's for sure. But let me get back to Gene.
Well, I think Sevier wrote a nice job with this piece. It was a great brevity. was a lot of fun. And I love how she brought it around to play with the big boys, sipping whiskey on the rocks. Gone are my glory days. Or are they? That, I love how she ended on that question. It was just perfect. But, yeah, I don't know. Whenever I would go to the bar, I was always looking for the table. So, I mean, didn't matter who I went with. My girlfriend, my husband, didn't matter. You know, just go check out that pool table. It's always fun. But, yep, I'll settle for online. You know how that works. Keeps me sober and out of the bars, can I say. But a really well done piece. And thank you for sharing, Sapphire Rose. Great time. Okay. Next piece I'm going to put up. God, I feel like I'm not getting anywhere moving along with these pieces. Next piece I'm going to put up is by Titus Llewellyn. And here we go.
Introduction. Earth Angels. One other version can account for which Earth Angels has been truly inspired. It comes from the Bible, Genesis 9, verse 9-10, when God spoke to Noah, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature brought unto you, the birds and livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you." It is apparent, in fact, but impossible to bear allegiance with this tale, since the practicalities dwell upon the scrutiny of my soul worshipping my association, not with God, for it is spasmodic to say the least. It is not for me to explain the ark, other than the large volume, this book which you now hold. I feel it is a blessing from above. Interments such as these hail as soul relics. Metaphorically speaking, it holds valuable insight as would the ark from the olden days. It is hoped what will come out of it will enlighten you, since there is a species once of this earth to put me in this steel frame. That apparent deluge, be it death, I would otherwise not have used the flood, but the wide open space above us, beyond the troposphere. There are ways in which divinity has reigned for millions of years. And so the same can be said that this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and the life on this earth. Whereas in Scripture, a three-tiered level of the Hebrew cosmos is recreated. I can relatively speak to others in a way that I have lived to learn, and I have learned to live through immense pain and suffering. It is suffering I have managed to dispose of before a diagnosis could be found for my Addison's disease. There were seizures almost, which relative consultants and doctors call an acute Addisonian crisis. It is potentially a life-threatening condition that results from acute insufficiency of the adrenal hormone cortisol. Physiologic derangements that are unrelenting in ways that can weaken my whole being. I have to say there is very little I can do or say other than to implement the gift of love like you have never seen before. How sad then, when others die, that we would want to buy them flowers or say something beautiful about them other than while they are with us still. The fear for society has been COVID-19. The discord has brought untold chaos to our lives. We are also past caring, and I have missed, personally, the tiny interactions between strangers. I have chosen across the board a stark relation to what you might think. The strengths of every individual in this book is given a sensitive atonement spiritually. These are angels for the good of mankind. And I truly believe the sentiment of God be depicted by every kindness given. I am in two minds sitting on the fence, backing both sides. It is not for me to judge, rather sensibly to nudge you to make a little effort on your part to make this world a better place.
Laurent?
I'm sorry, I saw another stanza, so I was waiting for that to come up.
Well, that would have been like a poem. That would have been more like a poem.
Because of the length of this piece, I'm going to ask everyone to give their comments in text to Tony.
Good.
And I'm going to let Jean proceed to the next poem.
Good thinking, Lincoln. Good thinking. Let me see now. The next one in the list is by Eric Svensson. And this was from last Wednesday. Ooh, back to Frisky Friday.
I think we read this one already.
Shame and
Thought. Yeah, we went to
Rise.
No, that was Poetic Poetry.
Oh, okay.
Did you read
it? No, go ahead.
Begin again.
Shame and song. Rise, O winged serpent, rise. Uncoil from cave slumber. Awaken dormant energy. Acknowledge latent pulsation. Unwind from darkened stupor. Release pent-up energy. Converge with convalescence. Coil, O winged serpent, coil. Beloved Caduceus rod awaits each fervent press upon electrified spine. From epicenter red root cave rise. Coils clasp breathless gas. Determined exploration. Ever upwards. Sail, O winged serpent, sail. Seek the fire ignited by yin and yang dance. Let doubt and shame drop away like old snake skin. Unveil silken soft skin. Press the points touched unlocks gateways. Old record played backwards reveals hidden messages. Two winged serpents coil around desire's caduceus rod. Yin and yang coil higher. Track from Red River Valley to Kilimanjaro's White Cap Peak. Energy exchange facilitates a breathless hike. Snake charmer loves flute coaxes resurrection. Entwined fingers clasp sensual punctuation. Exclamation marks indent bristling skin. Strive, O winged serpent, strive. Hypnotic eroticism fuses. Wishes blend. Bend whims to archer reality. Disparities cold-blooded isolation conquered. Vaulted human heart chambers defrost. Love's liquid light imbues rainbow cadence within. Celebrate, O winged serpent, celebrate. Cherish the sacred
act risen. Chakra centers spin, tandem flight to ethereal realms. Soundboard touch the sacred spirals. Upon dream wings, dive into the vortex. Cerebral cortexes disengage from doubt and shame. United love's flame ignites. Molten gold coils around desire's caduceus rod. Two sentient bodies glide upon surreal currents. Egos dissolve on the pleasure altar. Ashes to ashes, release spirits soar beyond gravity. Rugged hike up the mountain rewards infinite views. Rise, a winged phoenix serpents rise. Doubt and shame drop hooked like old snake skin. Senses reciprocated. Passion's coiled rope lassoed wild horses. Disengage cerebral cortexes, opened up vistas with unhindered views. Symphonic overture celebrates concave yin and convex yang cognition. Cello celebrates accurate purrs define acumen and burn.
Thank you, Eric. I've got to say that LNP is lucky to have poets who write such beautiful poems as we heard tonight. This last one certainly an example of that. We are down to just a couple of minutes. I'm going to urge everyone to leave their love for Eric in text. And I'm going to kick it back to Jean for closing comments.
Absolutely. What a packed full of detail, right, that was. Amazing. I don't know. It's tough to comment. But I will say we have a Faziana at 12:30 with Parts Inner, Parts Inc. And I'm not sure what her theme is tonight, but I am sure it's a good one. Faziana runs some decent contests for the show, and I hope everyone will give her a listen. Just so we know, I do have carryovers for next week. There was just so many poems on the board. I have one by Kel Smiles, one by Joseph Moon. I have Mahesh Shroff, Poetic Picasso, Babbler, The Writer's Thee. I have three from Richard Weissman from his show on Thursday, which include Errant Panther, Lamar Cole, Ted Alexander, and they'll all be on the board for next Friday. So I want to thank everyone who joined us, Pam, Thomas, Laurent. As always, thanks for co-hosting with me. I want to thank Wayne and Sawa.
Kel.
And Kel, thanks for giving it a try. I appreciate it. I moved your piece till next Friday. What were you going to say, Laurent?
Casey Day.
That was an audio. She didn't call
SoundCloud,
in.
SoundCloud, right. Sorry. We had, I think, six SoundClouds tonight. Not bad.
I have three more on the board. Well, two more on the board. But yeah. A lot of stuff. Lots of poetry. But everybody, it was all excellent poetry, and I really appreciated everyone. And join us again next Friday for Fill My Eyes and Laurent with Poetry / Frisky Friday, because I'm sure we'll have to.
Good
everyone
night,
have
all.
A wonderful night. Much love. Bye-bye.